extend a Christian welcome to each one gathered in this building this morning, this collective worship service. It's been a blessing to me already to be here in your midst and hear devotional and Sunday school lesson, God's sovereignty, and blessing of Come Thou Fount. That song really touched me. It says, "Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee." And why that stood out to me so much is because I'd like to share with you about the goodness of God, the attribute of the goodness of God. And so that goodness of God, like a fetter, binding our wandering heart to thee, to God. It was a wonderful thought. The message title this morning I've taken out of Exodus, and it goes like this: "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Have you ever seen the goodness of God pass before you? Like Moses, did you see the goodness of God pass before you this morning? I have not seen the goodness of God like Moses. You haven't, I don't think, either. Have you seen the goodness of God in a different way? Yes, I could say I have. You have. We've seen the goodness of God in our lives today, this past week, and Lord willing, this future week. We'll see the goodness of God. That is, if our eyes are open, our spiritual eyes are open. Why do we so often miss seeing God's goodness? As I think of that, I think of the children of Israel. The children of Israel, we know that whenever there was a great famine in Canaan, and the posterity of Jacob, Israel there, needed to go down into Egypt to find bread. We know that Joseph was all part of that, and God's sovereignty, and how Joseph prepared bread there. And we see there how the children of Israel, they were in desperate need for bread. So God showed them the bread there in Egypt. They stayed there for many years. We know that Joseph was raised up next to Pharaoh. And after the old Pharaoh died, and the new Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph anymore, he came on the throne. He looked there across his land, and he said, "All these Israelites, what am I going to do with them? There's so many of them. They're going to be mightier than we are. They're going to overthrow us here in Egypt." And so what happened was Pharaoh put great rigors on the Israelites, and the Israelites groaned under the travail of the labor that Pharaoh put on them. They groaned and groaned, and Pharaoh said, "Oh, they're lazy. Don't give them their regular straw, so that they have to get all these bricks without the straw." So that just tells you how much labor there was. And after a while, kill all the baby boys, throw them in the river. So we see there the oppression that Pharaoh put on the Israelites. And the Israelites were crying out to God for a deliverer. We know the story of little baby Moses there in the bulrushes, how God used him up through finally to be the deliverer of the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses, by God's power, brought the rod down again and again for the plagues of Egypt so that God's people would be ready to come out of that land of oppression. Finally, the last plague came, the plague of the firstborn, those that didn't have the blood over the lintel and on the side posts. Every house that didn't have it, there was a dead person in that house. But Israel was delivered that night. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get you out of here unless all of us die." And so out of Egypt went Israel with Moses at the head of that great nation. And so we see them coming out of Egypt. It wasn't long that the people forgot the oppression that they were under. And then they said, "Oh, we remember Egypt. We remember Egypt. We remember the leeks, the onions, all the good melons and all the good things back in Egypt." They had a backward look. Where was the oppression? Where was the memory of oppression? Where was the memory of all their dead baby boys back there? They had forgotten. Again, they had forgotten to see the goodness of God. We know the story. It took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And God worked through them, and a new generation arose out of the Israelite band of people, and they came into their promised land. But how many times are you and I like the children of Israel? We want to look back, and we want to look back to the life that we were brought out of, the life of sin and debauchery. And we say, "Oh, we remember the good things back in our old life. Oh, if we could just have them." Aren't we so many times like the children of Israel, longing for the things of the forbidden, the things of this land, the things of this world, when we should be looking forward, looking by the eyes of faith at the goodness of our great God? Now turn with me to Exodus 33. I'd like to read this passage where we find, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." Exodus 33. It's a beautiful chapter here. Exodus 33, I'd like to read verses 7 to the end of the chapter. Exodus 33, verse 7, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone to the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, here's our title, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Moses went into that tabernacle, and that cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Moses saw the goodness of the Lord in that cloudy pillar. All Israel, they were in their tents. They rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door, when the cloudy pillar stood at the tabernacle door. Israel saw God's goodness. God told Moses, You have found grace in my sight. God told Moses, I know thee by name. God talked with Moses face to face. I believe what that means is that God talked with Moses through the cloudy pillar. Somehow, there in the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar came down. And God was right there, face to face with Moses, but Moses couldn't see the face, the literal face of God. But he talked face to face with God, meaning through the cloudy pillar, because it says clearly in later on in this passage that says, No man has seen my face and was able to live. Then God said all of this to Moses. And all these commendations that God gave to Moses, you think Moses would have been satisfied. But Moses said this. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. When he just got done talking to God in that cloudy pillar, he just got done being blessed by God. God was saying, I know thee by name. All of these things. Now Moses says, God, show me thy glory. Moses wasn't still satisfied. He wanted to see more of God. Well, it was a blessing that Moses wanted to see more of God. And God answered his request. God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. You will not be able to see me face to face, no. But I'm going to put thee in the cleft of the rock. He placed in the rock where Moses could be. He says, and when I pass by you, Moses, with all of my goodness, I'm going to put my hand over you there in the cleft of the rock. And when I go past you, I'm going to take my hand away. And you're going to see just the hinder parts of me. That's what God did for Moses. Moses said, I want to see your goodness. I want to see your glory. And God gave him that he answered that request. And Moses saw the hinder parts of God going past him. Moses saw all the goodness of God pass before him. What a thrill. You know, to think of seeing God so literally. But today, why is it that we often miss seeing the goodness of God when it's right before our eyes? We also see the goodness of God if we, by the eyes of faith, see it. What is my view of the goodness of God? Again, I bring up the question, why do we so often miss seeing the goodness of God? Number one, I believe it's my feelings want to pressure my facts about God. God is good, right? Is God good all the time? Well, while we were sitting in here and having our Sunday school class, all of a sudden it all got dark and the rain just fell out of the heavens down here. And I know by looking around that you have had plenty of moisture. And I heard in Sunday school class, you know, it's hard not to complain sometimes. All the rain, it's that way in Pennsylvania too. A lot of rain the last 9 months. But is God good all the time? Is God good now just because the sun is shining? The rain has passed. Now God is good, right? Is he good all the time? God is good when I and my family are healthy. God is good when I have plenty of financial equity, when my savings account has plenty in it, when my checking account has lots in it, and when my wallet has plenty of cash in it. God is good. God is good when I have smooth working relationships with other people. God is good when my church and our school all are functioning well. Everything's running smoothly. God is good. How do we feel when it seems the whole world is against us? All of a sudden things change. It's not, the whole world is not against us, but sometimes it feels like the whole world is against us. How do we feel when it seems that God is against us? He chastens us more than maybe what we feel like he blesses us. In times like these, our Christian heads say, God is good. But our heart fights against our head and says it doesn't feel like God loves us. Do the spiritual facts win in my life, or do my feelings take control? Are we strange to have this battle? Am I strange to have this battle? I remember times in my life under the chastening hand of God. I remember in my weakness doubting God's goodness. Have you ever been there? Doubting God's goodness. That's not good, to doubt God's goodness. But am I strange as a preacher? Are you strange as a saint to doubt God's goodness sometimes in your Christian life? I don't think we're strange, because my Bible says that Job had a time of, I call tribulation, a time of fierce trial. And Job said, I wish I was never born. And I wish that I would have died before in the belly. Before my mother conceived, I wish I would have been dead rather than facing all this pain. Jeremiah, in Lamentations, said, I feel like a mark. I feel like a target. My sons and my nephews, and they have their bows, their compound bows, and they put their target out there before hunting season, archery season comes, and they shoot at the bullseye, and the more they hit the bullseye, the more they're prepared for hunting season. I'm too old for that. I need a crossbow. So a little help. I need a little extra help. So that's an example. As we shoot the target, and we try to hit the bullseye again and again. Jeremiah said, I feel like that target. I feel like I've been hit again and again. I feel like that. So, Job, Jeremiah, there are others in the Bible that doubted the goodness of God. In the midst of their affliction, in the midst of their fiery trials, and yes, maybe in the midst of their tribulation, they just their view of faith in God got weaker. And some doubts came into their mind. But as Job and Jeremiah did, after that was over, they reminded themselves again about God's mercy being new every day. And so that's how you can conquer these feelings in our lives when we remind ourselves again of God's goodness. The purpose of the message is to present only part of the goodness of God. I cannot describe to you all the goodness of God. I can only give you just a little part of the goodness of God, because God is so good. He is all goodness. God is all goodness. And I want to, as it were, imprint on your heart this morning that God is good all the time. Even though our feelings battle our mind again and again when we're under heavy loads that God appoints for us, that God is good all the time. And I've had plenty of times in life. I've had, I think, sometimes more than most people have had of pain and tribulation and fiery trials. So I'm no stranger to pain, and I'm sure you older ones here too and younger ones are no stranger to pain. But let's remember, I'm saying to myself, I'm saying to you, that God is good all the time. Romans 2:4, the last part of the verse says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The end of last year, before our revivals are in November. As I looked over the congregation, I thought of four young people that were getting to the age of accountability, maybe a little bit older than that age. And I thought, I want to spend special time in prayer for these four young folks. And so I spent extra time praying for them, that God would speak to them, that they would choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As I prayed for them, I mentioned it to a brother. And he said, "I'm also praying for those four." So I know there's at least two of us and probably many more praying for them. So we prayed. And as revivals came closer. One of our own ministers before revivals was led of God to preach on salvation. I forget what the title was. And two of them responded. And as revivals went through, another one responded, three out of the four. Then after revivals, about a month later, the fourth one responded. They were all saved. It's the goodness of God that you're saved here this morning. It's the goodness of God that you claim salvation, that you've been born again. What would it be like if we didn't have the Spirit of God prompting us? I remember when God worked in my heart before I was converted. I had my thinking and my mindset. And God in His sovereignty went right to the exact point of my mind and my thinking and created a need, that I had a need, that I was a sinful person. And God worked with me. It was the goodness of God that led me to salvation. It's the goodness of God that leads you, that led you to salvation. And will in the future, your family, those young ones on your laps, if time continues, it'll be the goodness of God that they come to salvation. Now, quote from the Bible Dictionary, when we think of the goodness of God, we think, well, it's we can easily give in a definition for the goodness of God. But when you really study into it and you think about it, it becomes complex. So I just made it simple for myself. I took a quote from the Bible Dictionary, and it says this: God's goodness consists of righteousness, holiness, justice, kindness, grace, mercy, and love. Goodness is also one of the fruits of the Spirit that should characterize Christian believers. Christians are called to goodness even as God the Father is perfect and good. End of quote. So I'm going to take this paragraph and split it up and make the points about God's goodness. The first one is, God is righteous, holy, and just. Psalm 145:17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 11:7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Psalm 119:137-138. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Isaiah 6:2-3. Above us stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Psalm 99:2-3. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior there is none beside me. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now I read these scriptures for you to see the goodness of God. God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And this morning I'm trying to bring the goodness of God before you. Those of you that have faith in your hearts toward God. I read these scriptures and I want you to see the goodness of God pass before your mind, before your eyes, your spiritual eyes. The next one is, God is kind, God gives grace. Psalm 117:2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Joel 2:13, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God is saying to you, saints here at Mount Joy this morning, I'm making all my goodness pass before you. The next point, God is merciful, God is love. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Again, God is saying to you this morning, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What should our response be to all the goodness of God? Psalm 107:8-9 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the hungry. I said that wrong. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. There's a little poem here that I copied. This poem says this. This poem is written by Grace E. Troy. He chooses for me. Giver of every gift, thy choice is best. All wise, eternal love, in thee I rest. Yielding to thy wise hand, safe in thy will. Not asking why or how, let me be still. Looking on things unseen, by faith I see. Glory exceeding great worketh for me. God is saying to you, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This morning, did you see the goodness of God pass before you in your mind this morning as these scriptures were read? I believe that's how we see the goodness of God. We look in the scriptures and we apply the scriptures to our hearts. And as we apply them and we meditate on them, many times when we get to scripture, when I have devotions, when you have devotions, the goodness of God passes before our eyes. We see, oh, God's like this. Now, our finite minds get kind of shrunken. It shrinks and shrinks. But whenever we see God again through the scriptures, it enlarges our view. And again, I need to do this, and you need to do this. We need to enlarge our perspective of God's attributes. We need to enlarge our perspective of how great and good our God is. In closing, some verses here. First, before I get to those verses, it is imperative to believe that God is always good. God is always good. And don't let emotions derail us from this foundational fact. I'm human, you're human, we're all human. It's easy for us to doubt God. Let's cast those doubts out of our mind and always remember the simple foundational fact that God is always good. And I will say by experience that whenever I'm in some fiery trial, some tribulation, in that time, my eyes, as it were, are dimmed and I can't see clearly. But as I emerge from that experience, and then I look back and say, well, God had some lessons for me. God had some teaching for me. And God wanted to make me stronger somehow. And God, He's only trying to make us better Christians. That's why God is always good, regardless of what kind of circumstances we're going through. God is trying to make us better Christians, better fitted for whenever we leave this world and go into eternal glory. He's making us better. He's making us more fitted. In closing, two verses. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11:11-13. God bless you, and as you go through life, may you see the goodness of God pass before you again and again.